The reaction was immediate and predictable. Cho's friend shrieked and slopped Butterbeer down herself. Terry Boot gave a kind of involuntary twitch. Padma Patil shuddered, and Neville gave an odd yelp that he managed to turn into a cough. All of them, however, looked fixedly, even eagerly, at Harry.
"Well, that's the plan, anyway," said Hermione. "If you want to join us, we need to decide how we're going to..."
"Where's the proof you know who's back?"
said the blonde Hufflepuff player in a rather aggressive voice.
"Well, Dumbledore believes it,"
Hermione began.
"You mean Dumbledore believes him?"
said the blonde boy, nodding at Harry.
"Who are you?"
said Ron rather rudely.
"Zacharias Smith," said the boy. "And I think we've got the right to know exactly what makes him say you know who's back."
"Look," said Hermione, intervening swiftly. "That's really not what this meeting was supposed to be about."
"It's okay, Hermione," said Harry.
It had just dawned upon him why there were so many people there. He felt that Hermione should have seen this coming. Some of these people, maybe even most of them, had turned up in the hope of hearing Harry's story firsthand.
"What makes me say you know who's back?"
he repeated, looking Zacharias straight in the face.
"I saw him. But Dumbledore told the whole school what happened last year, and if you didn't believe him, you don't believe me, and I'm not wasting an afternoon trying to convince anyone."
The whole group seemed to have held its breath while Harry spoke. Harry had the impression that even the barman was listening in. He was wiping the same glass with the filthy rag. It was becoming steadily dirtier. Zacharias said dismissively,
"All Dumbledore told us last year was that Cedric Diggory got killed by you-know-who, and that you brought Diggory's body back to Hogwarts. He didn't give us details. He didn't tell us exactly how Diggory got murdered. I think we'd all like to know."
"If you've come to hear exactly what it looks like when Voldemort murders someone, I can't help you," Harry said. His temper, always so close to the surface these days, was rising again. He did not take his eyes from Zacharias Smith's aggressive face, determined not to look at Cho.
"I don't want to talk about Cedric Diggory, all right? So if that's what you're here for, you might as well clear out."
He cast an angry look in Hermione's direction. This was, he felt, all her fault. She had decided to display him like some sort of freak, and of course they had all turned up to see just how wild his story was. But none of them left their seats. Not even Zacharias Smith, though he continued to gaze intently at Harry.
"So," said Hermione, her voice very high-pitched again, "so, like I was saying, if you want to learn some defence, then we need to work out how we're going to do it, how often we're going to meet, and where we're going to..." "Is it true,"
interrupted the girl with a long plait down her back, looking at Harry,
"that you can produce a Patronus?"
There was a murmur of interest around the group at this.
"Yeah,"
said Harry, slightly defensively.
"A corporeal Patronus?"
The phrase stirred something in Harry's memory. You don't know Madame Bones, do you?" he asked. The girl smiled.
"She's my auntie," she said. "I'm Susan Bones. She told me about your hearing. So, is it really true? You make a stag Patronus?"
"Yes," said Harry.
"Blimey, Harry,"
said Lee, looking deeply impressed.
"I never knew that."
"Mum told Ron not to spread it around," said Fred, grinning at Harry. "She said you got enough attention as it was."
"She's not wrong," mumbled Harry, and a couple of people laughed. The veiled witch sitting alone shifted very slightly in her seat.